football on off the ball.
So this is like one of the most boring one-theme press conferences of all time. It's just a repeated conversation around Benjamin Šeško and Manchester United striking options.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome along to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we'll have the latest from Old Trafford as attention turns to who'll be in the Manchester United hot seat next. Chelsea appoint Liam Rossini as their new head coach, and Martin O'Neill is back at Celtic again. Manchester United will now look to who they'll appoint as Ruben Amorim's replacement after parting company with the Portuguese coach yesterday. Darren Fletcher will take charge for Wednesday's trip to Burnley, but it's unclear if the Scot will remain in interim charge for the rest of the season. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been linked to take over as a caretaker manager. Michael Carrick, who also had a brief role as interim boss, has been mentioned as well. Like Solskjaer, he's currently out of work. On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, the Athletic's Mark Critchley joined Ger Gilroy and Adrian Barry and explained United's lack of forward planning has left them stranded.
Who's the next manager going to be?
Well, it's Darren Fletcher for Burnley, as we know. I think the current state of play is that United will look to make a permanent appointment in the summer. I think that's probably the right decision. I think maybe a lesson's been learnt there from bringing Ruben Amorim in mid-season, which itself was a legacy of sort of bungling the decision over Ten Hag and interviewing candidates and then deciding to keep him and extending his contract and then getting rid of him anyway. I think that period between now and the end of the season of taking stock and then revisiting a manager market, which will have more available candidates in the summer, given that contracts are running out, people like Oliver Glasner, Antonio Raiola, Marcus Silva, in terms of Premier League managers. And then you've also got managers who will be at the World Cup. Now, that's not ideal, is it? Because they'll be engaged with the national teams until perhaps even mid-July. But then we've seen United do that before with Louis van Gaal in 2014. So I wouldn't rule that out either. But I think that's a long way away at the moment. And it's going to depend if United do postpone and delay this decision until the summer, then that is going to, you know, a lot can change between now and then. So I don't think I think it's too early to pick out a single name. What will be interesting is exactly how long Fletcher gets. I think we know he's getting this Burnley game, but will there be a decision to perhaps bring in a longer term caretaker, if you know what I mean, until the end of the season? So we've seen this before, right? When Ole Gunnar Solskjaer left, Michael Carrick was the caretaker for a couple of games. Then Ralph Rangnick took charge until the end of the season. Then they appointed Ten Hag. If it was to follow that pattern again, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised. And then the identity of that sort of longer term interim becomes interesting. You know, we've done our piece on The Athletic this morning that took a lot of work yesterday, but it sounds like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is one of those that's being considered. It sounds like United could potentially go down that path of a former player, of a legend, Michael Carrick, etc. Sort of names that you associate with stability and that would buy them that time to make a fuller decision in the summer. That's currently the state of play. But I mean, we're 24 hours on from a managerial sacking that most of us didn't think was going to happen a week ago. So it's still quite a fluid and developing situation.
That would suggest they didn't have a plan, really. That it was like that there's a more knee-jerk element to this than maybe we had thought.
I think it was sudden. I think that, yeah, we've reported this morning that when Jason Wilcox held a meeting with the players shortly after the news broke yesterday, and after he told Ruben Amorim that he was out of a job, he told the players that he himself was surprised at just how quickly this had developed over the last 48 hours. Now, I think, again, as we've mentioned before, I think tensions were under the currents just a little bit longer than that, but it does seem to have really escalated.
Jamie Jackson from The Guardian joined Owen Sheehan on the football show last night to talk about Amorim's fallout with the higher-ups at Old Trafford, and he explained how the situation spiralled so quickly.
So the official reason for Amorim's dismissal this morning is that the club isn't making enough progress on the pitch. They have been insistent that what Amorim has said in these press conferences has nothing to do with the fact that he's been sacked. That's correct, right?
Well, it's part of it. Both elements you mentioned there are part of the reason. So results have been better, actually. But in terms of, you know, beating Wolves, for example, who had 2 points and arrived, other performances like that, it's not been good enough. But if you actually look at the position in the table, they're only 2 points off top four, and actually top five will get you Champions League. So there is some truth in that. But I am pretty sure that what has caused this is Amorim being told no money in January. Now, he was told that there'd be money for Antoine Semenyo, which is the best part of £65 million. When the player decided City was his preferred destination, I think Amorim then thought, well, with the £65 million in the pot there, can that could be spent on another sort of top player. And I think he was told no. That's cheesed him off. I think there's other things that have gone on. I did a story in mid-December saying that while Maynou has not started a Premier League game under Amorim, he basically doesn't fancy him, the hierarchy were reluctant to sell him because they felt that, well, actually, there's a player there and who knows what might happen in the future with regard to the manager, Amorim, still being around. And I think he came out actually on Christmas Eve with a line saying that Kobbie Mainoo is the future of Manchester United, which is a very, very odd thing to say considering he'd never started him in the league. And I think that was part of what he was being told about Mainoo. Yes, that, you know, this lad isn't really going anywhere. And then we fast forward to Friday's press conference, you know, the clip there. And, you know, there was a big sea change. He went from saying, I will never, ever, ever change my 3-4-3. In fact, quote, even the Pope can't convince me to change the 3-4-3, to, actually, I'm beginning to realise, in essence, I can't get the big players for this system. And that, for me, was a big red flag. Why has he said that? And that's why I asked him about it. So, you know, two or three times, as your clip sort of shows, he didn't answer it. But then the third time, as soon as I mentioned there's been a change of budget and or Jason Wilcox, director of football, speaking to you, he comes out with a sort of, it's only sort of four words, you are very smart. It's correct. And that's why my colleagues on a Sunday then followed this up after the Leeds game, and he came out with, now that press conference post Leeds was very scattergun, very sort of indiscreet, if you like, saying all this stuff. But I would actually say, it's just an opinion, but a sort of, let's say, an informed opinion, that it was premeditated, a bit like the Friday answers were. You know, he was cheesed off. There's a sort of difference of opinion. Basically, in essence, he wants to be the manager. That's, you know, as in he has all the final say on which players come in and out, because after all, he lives or dies by, you know, the players he puts on the field and the team. And Wilcox stroke Berardo is saying, well, you know, that's not how it works here.
Former United captain Gary Neville says the next appointment needs to be someone that can work with the current squad.
Manchester United have got to appoint a manager that fits the DNA of their football club. They should play the way in which they play. And the club have to find a manager now who's got experience, who's willing to play fast, entertaining, attacking, aggressive football. Simple as that.
Chelsea have announced Lee Rosenior as their new head coach on a contract until 2032. Rosenior held a press conference in France on Tuesday morning and confirmed that he had verbally agreed to leave his role with Strasbourg to take over at Chelsea, saying that he couldn't turn down the opportunity. Strasbourg and Chelsea are owned by Bluco, a consortium led by American businessman Todd Boehly and Clear Lake Capital. Rosenior added that he'll be joined by his Strasbourg assistants Khalifa Cisse and Justin Walker, as well as analyst Ben Warner. Meanwhile, Chelsea winger Alejandro Garnacho paid tribute to former manager Enzo Maresca, who left the club on New Year's Day. Garnacho says now he's keen to prove his worth to the new manager.
It's always sad when a manager goes, you know, but yeah, it's a really good guy. I learn a lot from him, but I signed for Chelsea, so we have to keep working.
The managerial merry-go-round continued last night. Martin O'Neill was once again appointed Celtic interim manager, this time until the end of the season. The former Ireland boss, who had an interim spell in charge earlier in the campaign, replaces Wilfred Nancy, who was sacked after 8 games. He lost 6 of the 8. Former Celtic striker Chris Sutton says a change had to be made.
I think the decision means Celtic have a far greater chance of winning the title. Keeping Wilfred Nancy in position would have been too much of a risk. The job was too big for Wilfred Nancy.
O'Neill had stepped in for 8 games after Brendan Rodgers left in October, and O'Neill won 7 of those 8 matches. The 73-year-old takes over with Celtic 6 points behind leaders Hearts in the Scottish Premiership. Rangers could go above Celtic tonight into second if they avoid defeat against Aberdeen. O'Neill says his first task is to restore confidence in the squad.
Players can play, and the lovely thing about it is that when players that you know are very fine footballers can come back and perform to the manner and at a sort of the standard that they can achieve and that they have done in the past. And I think that's a nice thing. And if all of those things fall into place, then you've got a chance of winning.
BBC's Tom English was also on the football show last night, and he explained how the Celtic hierarchy appointed Nancy.
Paul Tisdale, now ex-head of football operations, championed Wilfred Nancy because Paul Tisdale had a relationship with Kwame Ampadu earlier on in his football career. Ampadu was assistant to Nancy at Columbus Crew, so the little triangle there. So Nancy comes in, Ampadu comes in as his assistant or one of his assistants, and that's all done from Paul Tisdale. He brings all of that to the board. I mean, he doesn't have the power to say, that's it. He brings it to the board. He champions them, and the board say, yeah, okay, let's go with this. Now, it was a punt. It was a spectacularly ill-advised gamble. And I think they've made it Celtic in part through a bit of arrogance that maybe they thought, there's nobody going to threaten us here domestically. We're going to win the league and we'll have time for Nancy to come in and bed in his ideas, and we'll still win the league no matter what. What they underestimated was the arrival of Hearts as a serious force in this country now. Fueled in part by the money from Tony Bloom, the data analytics company, Jamestown Analytics, the astute management of Derek McInnes, their very successful hit rate in the transfer market, improving their team. So Hearts now are a different proposition entirely. Rangers were pilloried all season by everybody. And yet they've managed to replace Russell Martin, bring in Danny Rule, who has just kind of eked out performances from a pretty average group of players. He's been pragmatic. He's been everything that Wilfred Nancy wasn't. He's been pragmatic. He's changed his system mid-game and then changed it again. You know, and he's shown a kind of football intelligence that Nancy, an ideologue, never showed. So Rangers now are banged there. And it's surreal that this team, who've lived most of the season in total crisis, are now banged there in contention. And Celtic fans, they just can't believe what's happening.
Another manager gone is Ryan Mason from West Brom. The 34-year-old leaves the club 18th in the Championship with just 4 wins from their last 16 matches. Mason was appointed by West Brom in June, his first permanent managerial role. They were beaten 2-1 away to Leicester last night, and that was their 10th away loss in a row. Kilmarnock have appointed Neil McCann as their manager. His assistant will be Billy Dodds. McCann replaces Stuart Kettlewell, who was sacked after 6 wins in 25 games. There's a crucial game at the bottom of the Premier League table tonight. West Ham in the relegation zone are at home to Nottingham Forest, who are just 4 points above the Hammers. That game starts at 8 o'clock. Mo Salah scored for Egypt to beat Benin 3-1 after extra time to advance to the quarterfinals of the Africa Cup of Nations. Egypt will play either Ivory Coast or Burkina Faso in the last 8. Those two meet at 7 o'clock this evening. Victor Osimhen scored twice for Nigeria in their 4-0 win over Mozambique. Algeria and DR Congo play at 4 o'clock this afternoon for the right to face Nigeria. Manchester City look set to bring in a defender during the January transfer window after the club confirmed last night that Josko Gvardiol suffered a broken leg in Sunday's draw with Chelsea. Ruben Diaz also went off in that game. John Stones is out injured as well at the moment. City have been linked with Crystal Palace captain Mark Gahey, who's out of contract in the summer. Evan Ferguson is part of the Roma squad for their Serie A game away to Lecce later on today. The 21-year-old could be in line to start again, but will face competition from Artem Dovbek. Dubliner Corian Dabba could be lining up against Ferguson. The left-back has made 6 Serie A appearances all season. And Matthew Brennan's green scene returned for the first time since the Christmas break, and with Josh Cullen definitely out for the World Cup playoff against the Czech Republic in March, Matthew Gerr and Adrian debated who could possibly fill the void left by the Burnley midfielder.
Malumbi, obviously, I was thinking, who is it going to be? We were talking about this yesterday. It's like, did they drop Finazaz further back into the team and be like, okay, actually, we think you can do... Or...
Yeah, well, I mean, you see, Lual, right? Okay, I'll numb the kind of sense of excitement around Lual just ever so slightly, and that he's in defensive midfield here in my team. He did play in defensive midfield in one of the games. I've 3 games here that he has played over the course of the last sort of 10 days. The one against Hull in particular, the best of the bunch, away from home, winning 1-0, playing in defensive midfield. There's a guy on Twitter, I think he's called Era Videos, I think it's a small sort of account, but he posts these sort of compilations of all the, how a lot of the Irish players are doing. And Lual is a consistent kind of feature on the videos he puts up. And that game against Hull is, I mean, that's what you want to see from a midfielder. In general, let alone one that's Irish. Outside of that, though, he played against Norwich at the weekend. They won 2-0, and he played at left back. And prior to that, I can't remember exactly who it was against, but just before Christmas, he played at right back. So there's a bit of a mix around going on with Stoke there at the minute, because Junior Chamadou is their right back. He's a very good player. He's at AFCON, so there's a he's plugging holes there, you know. But he's plugging them well. Now I don't know is. The thing is, right, with Cullen being out, we have midfielders of a serviceable level, and we know all about in Malumbi, in Knight, in Jack Taylor, in Azaz dropping back a little bit, and also even someone who else is also in this team in Alan Brown, who I would be very happy to see in a squad again, considering how he's playing. But I don't know if Lual has yet to make an appearance for Ireland. He hasn't played for Ireland before.
He's been in a couple of squads.
He's been in squads. But he hasn't got on the pitch.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I would. Yes, exactly.
Jack of all trades, but not master of any. Is that the?
Not yet. Maybe. Not yet. The master of any. He could well be. But the problem is, it's hard to become a master of a trade if you don't get to do said trade on a regular basis. You're kind of just doing all the different trades. You know. But he's been excellent. Like, he has been excellent. And he kind of was a bit slow. He came back into a Stoke team who were not performing as well as they had been when he was in it initially. And they'd been struggling over the last couple of weeks. Or the couple of weeks when he had come back from injury. But 2 away wins, 2 clean sheets over the last couple of days. They're back in form. And look, I don't need to kind of explain how big of a fan I am of his. But I just think that... I wouldn't be wanting people to get carried away, although if we did rock up to March and we were playing Czech Republic and he did somehow end up in that midfield, I think he'd be absolutely fine. But I just don't think that's going to happen. I think we've too many players there that are serviceable, I suppose. It's maybe not a nice way of putting it, but that's what they've shown to be, and I think that's probably what will happen.
And if you want to hear the green scene back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. And remember, if you want to listen to Off the Ball Breakfast, you can do so each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app, or it's on YouTube as well for free. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB Football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.